keeping it in the family, you know? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, the old doctrine, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For Christ, or in the Passover, there was the, you know, they would eat unleavened bread in the Hebrews, because that was a commandment of God, that they would eat their bread with haste. I think the idea they talked about, they didn't have enough time. I don't think it's in this. I'm not a big student of feasts and so on and so forth, okay? But, you know, they were leaving in haste. They didn't have time to leave the leaven around. But it's also, like I said, it's a picture of false doctrine. Get it out, you know? It's corruption. It's also a form of luxury in a way. So he says, now keep the feast. What, the Passover? So should we keep Passover? One man on earth one day above another, another man on earth every day alike. Not with old leaven. To me, that's not with the old doctrine. You know, I'm not going to sit around and have the Seder meal, according to Jewish traditions. You know. Neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness. You know, evil, wicked leaven. Doctrines. Malicious and wicked doctrines. Again, with the unleavened doctrine of sincerity and truth. Sincerity. Properly, it is clearness. By implication, purity. Pure. Clear. You know, nothing unclear about it. You know what I mean? Nothing, not things that minister questions. Not things that minister strife. But they rather give grace to the hearers. See, I don't believe in feast days. When he says keep the feast, I think he means it in a spiritual sense. How? How do you keep it? Because he's going to say, let's not keep the feast with old leaven. Well, there was no leaven in that feast. So what's that mean? With the old doctrine. The old way of keeping the feast. Just like the old way of keeping the Sabbath. It was on a particular day. I want to keep the Passover. Christ is our Passover. Because of him, the wrath of God will pass over me. Because of his blood. Over the doorposts of my house. Over the doorposts of my mind. You know, my body. My person. Because of that, the death angel will pass over me. I will inherit eternal life. But as Paul later says, you know, I don't want to be like those that are overthrown in the wilderness. I immediately think of that. But he is sacrificed for us. He is our Passover. So we keep the feast, not the old way. Like the old, I don't go back to the Old Testament to find out how to keep the Passover. I don't keep the Passover according to the Old Testament. I keep it according to the New Testament. Christ is sacrificed. So his blood is shed. And I'm not going to eat it with the old leaven. Neither with the leaven or malice and wickedness. But rather with the unleavened, with unleavened sincerity and truth. I want to, by keeping the truth, that is what I feed myself on. That sincere truth, that clear, unadulterated truth. That's how I keep the feast. And you know, because it's all those things are shadows pointing to Christ, to his body on the cross. And what that accomplishes, the power of God for that. All the other stuff is not worth our time anymore. Because now we have something much greater. So I don't put a lot into studying feasts and studying times and moons and nonsense. Look how it all matches up. So good, great, wonderful, okay. I don't know. I just have no taste for it. I guess because I came out of a church where that's all they focused on, that sort of stuff. They keep the Feast of Tabernacles. They keep the Passover. They keep this. They keep that. You know, I'm just not into it. I keep every day. Christ, our Passover, is not just sacrificed for me once a year. He was sacrificed for me once and for all time. And I keep the feast The idea is I should keep the feast every day of my life. By abiding in the truth. Abiding in the doctrine of Christ. If you abide in the doctrine of Christ, if you abide in His truth, you have the Father and the Son. And in the Son is life. Eternal life. That is the testimony which God gave. Epistles of John. So, you know, that's my thoughts on the feasts. I want the doctrine and judgment to come from the New Testament doctrine. Now, not that there isn't a lot of profit in the Old Testament scriptures. And I especially speak of the prophets. I love the prophets. I'm going to teach the prophets. And there's things out of the law, you know, but it diminishes somewhat. Like, I don't think I'll do the whole book of Leviticus or Numbers. I don't know. We'll see. It's like, you know, at some point maybe I'll look at maybe I'll come up with a plan or something, a way to go through it that would be educational, but I don't want to get away from the gospel. Actually, honestly, I'll probably be doing other things. I don't think I'll go to those things. You know, I go to them as necessary as we go through. I mean, I've been into the law. I went back to Deuteronomy to bring out points about the law, about slavery, all, you know, things like that. Just so people understand. There's a certain amount of knowledge that can be gained, of course. But again, it's like, now, you know, the feasts. I also object to this idea that we're going to look at the old feasts and somehow be able to tell the future from them. I object. I just object. If we began in the Spirit, you know what I mean? If I fulfilled the Old Testament feast without understanding the Old Testament feast, just by understanding the blood of Christ, how am I going to fulfill? Am I going to fulfill the end times by looking back to the Old Testament feasts for an understanding of how I ought to walk in Christ? No way. Can't go there. Verse 9. I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater,